Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, September 29th, 2024, is by Rich Holsche on the topic of being a good relative.
Uliunitim, thank you. Kwayam ziwi. Kwayam ziwik. Greetings all. Greetings everyone. Uli sponsviwi. Good morning. Morning has broken and we are grateful. Don't take it for granted. I'd like to introduce myself to you in the language of Western Abenaki people. I acknowledge that we are in Mohican country here, but they are close friends and neighbors, and that's not a problem. We should look for connective opportunities instead of things to separate us. Indelawizilisal, Indaiwantastagak, Talisukwakik, Nyail no Wombanaki, and we go dam nam yolan, yodali, pamgisagak, mina. I am called Rich. That's my given name, my English name, my German name. I'm named after my father. Was named after his grandfathers, and so I'm a junior. We acknowledge that we carry the past with us. It matters. We should remember. Out of that past, we are enabled to be here in the future. Kind of makes sense. I literally carry my grandparents inside of my body, and the past is always with us, and we have nothing else to work with when we create the future, when we make those decisions. So it all matters. I am of a place you know as Brattleboro, traditionally known as Wantastagak in Abenaki. It is, as far as I'm concerned, still Wantastagak, although most people are not aware of that. It has always been Wantastagak, and it will always be that place. The name refers, and how I did that, I have no magic powers. The name refers to the characteristics of the place itself, and so they're still there, and so the name still applies. The reference is to the river there, which we call the West River, in English today, but traditionally known as Wantastuk, the river where something is lost. These are stories that come together in place to help us to understand how to be in that place in a good way. So when we say Wantastagak, we are at the Wantastuk, the river where something is lost, and we are being a part of that place. So when I introduce myself to you, Ndai Wantastagok, I am not saying I come from Brattleboro. I am saying I am that place. I am part of that place, and that place is me, and that place is inside of me, just as my grandparents are. Because it's all connected, and we're all related. We're going to talk about that concept a little bit today. And again, in a very material manner, I carry that place with me. I drank the water from that place this morning. It's inside of me. I eat food that was grown in that place. It becomes me. Creation is an ongoing process. It's not a simple point in time, the way I have come to understand it. It is always happening. It is continual. And another way to look at it is change. Change. Change is creation, is one thing turning into another thing. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. In a very practical and in a very enduring, put whatever word you want on it, spiritual manner, it's a way of life, it's a way of being, it's a way of relating, it's a way of accepting responsibility and recognizing where you are in the world, wherever you go. So I am that place. It is on the other side of Askwadzuak, the Green Mountains, the east side towards the dawn, Wampanoag, the dawn land. And that is traditionally Abenaki homelands. This side being that of the Mohicanuk, the Mohican people, who again are closely related. They speak a similar language, a dialect, if you will, of an Algonquian language family, as we look at it nowadays. Algonquian, as a language family, takes its name from the Algonquin people, a little further north, north of the St. Lawrence. And that word, Algonquin, again, kin, speaking a similar language, comes exactly from that term. That's what Algonquin means. They are relatives. In Abenaki, I would say Ungolokomomek, all of those to whom we are related. But it has that root form in there, Alongu, Algonquin. Those are our relatives. The Mohican are our relatives. You are my relatives. You're my family. We are relatives. I am related to you somehow. I don't know how many generations we have to go back or sideways, but we're related. I think you understand that as well. And when we move beyond just human beings, we tend to identify with the humans first because they look like us. We see them as our own kind, but everyone is a someone. And there are relatives too, and we're not necessarily that familiar with that concept anymore. We're not taught this. We set ourselves apart. We're highly anthropocentric. I apologize for that. And in a Western society, we are not only human-centered, we are centered on the individual, and we separate ourselves. And there's reasons for that. They have to do with power and control. Which I think we can recognize is an illusion. And if we can see beyond that, we'll get a lot further toward living in balance and well with each other in a good way, as they say. There's been a few references made earlier in the gathering this morning that brought up a few words that I was going to allude to. It's funny how things happen like that. They come together. The reading earlier from John Lamedeer, a wise person, he had learned a few things and he shared them with us. If you're familiar with Lamedeer's Seeker of Visions, it's a classic book, I recommend it. Speaking of air, speaking of breath, these are the same thing. We share them. We all breathe the same air. It's a little scary sometimes, but it is true. I may have shared here earlier, just as a kind of a graphic example of how that air is shared and how we are all connected through that breath. There's a concept called Caesar's last breath. I don't know if you ever heard of that. And it builds on the idea that when Julius Caesar, which we know well from Western history and from Shakespeare, when he expired at the hands of his friends, funny how that happens, when he expired and he breathed out his last lungfuls of air into the atmosphere, that breath, those molecules, they went through a process of entropy and they dispersed and they broke apart and traveled around the planet, and we're still breathing them. And you have Caesar inside of you. You don't have any choice about it. It's important that we recognize that and think about the implications. You don't know who you're meeting at any given time and what that might mean later on. When we walk into the forest, I call it visiting the relatives, going to meet the family. The Western Abenaki language has these realizations, these concepts, these understandings built into it. It's just in there, the way you speak. You're speaking a reality, a worldview. And when we look at a tree, say a white pine, gua, if I don't know my trees, and I think you might know a little more than I, you could tell me what that tree might be in English. I would ask you in Abenaki, Awani na abazi, who is that tree? And my language has already told me that that is a someone. It's not a something. It's a relative. It's a someone. It holds spirit. And you would answer, na abazi gua, that someone is a white pine. And so we're already on the same page. But sometimes we drift off of that page because we forgot these things. Again, we need to remember. Mikwalda, remember. These are not, understandings or truths that are held by one particular culture or another. They tend to be universal. But again, through the process of change, we can drift away from them. It's good to come back. Tim started off earlier with a brief statement characterized as a land acknowledgement. It's a practice. It's gaining in other places to stop for a second and recognize where we are and who has been here, who is still here, whether we see them or not. And I appreciate that practice. I want to speak a little bit about what we're doing when we make a land acknowledgement. Another word for acknowledgement could be recognition. When we make an acknowledgement, we are facing the fact, the reality, we are admitting that this is the case. We accept that as the way it is. It's an acknowledgement, that makes sense, an affirmation, if you will. So what's happening when this acknowledgement or this affirmation is made is there are multiple parties present in that dynamic. There's the party that's making the affirmation, and then there's the party that they are affirming, that entity, that someone, whoever they are. So this is a conversation, it's not a statement, it's a conversation. We are admitting that someone else is in the room with us, in the space. In that conversation, we have an exchange going on, ideas, spirit, going back and forth between these parties. So it's two-way or multiple ways, it's not just one way. Somebody projecting something out. There's an exchange going on here, a dynamic. We are verbing. It's a verb. It's a process. It's not just a noun, a set of statements, a set of nominatives, objects, whether they be person, place, or thing. This is a verb process, this acknowledgement, because there's an exchange going on. Something is happening when we do this. Interestingly enough, the Beneke language, in common with many Algonquian languages, at least because that's what I'm familiar with, is a language mostly of verbs. It's the way it's just baked right into it. It's the way it's conceived. It's verbs. Things are happening. English is a language of nouns in almost the opposite ratio. We don't think about it because it's the air we breathe or the air we expel. It's assumed, it's taken for granted. But when you are verbing, what you do matters. And the way you say it matters. And words matter, consequently. So when you make an affirmation, an acknowledgement, the words you choose to use matter a great deal. When we acknowledge or affirm that we are in a certain place, a land acknowledgement, and the people, whether they are tree people or human people or fox people, fish people, stone people, we acknowledge all of these. We have a conversation going. In Abenaki, when we speak Abenaki, we are embodying the fact that this is a conversation and a process by the words we use and the way we say them. And so when I affirm or I acknowledge this land, this earth, this place, our mother, our relative, Nigawes Aki, our Mother Earth, when I acknowledge her in Abenaki, which she recognizes because it's been spoken here for thousands of years, she knows that language well, as do everyone else who lives here. You should try it sometime. If you learn Abenaki, go out and talk to our relatives. They respond in their own language, but they respond. They know who they are. They recognize these words. So when we speak Abenaki to Nigawes Aki here, we are opening a conversation. And when you begin a conversation with somebody, we appreciate that they acknowledge you and they speak back instead of ignoring you. Those are choices that can be made, right? That's a choice to engage or ignore. Does the earth speak back? You open this conversation.